Today on Real Ghost Stories Online, they were living with their parents, but who else was living there with them?
This is Real Ghost Stories Online.
We love to hear your real ghost stories, so if you're listening, you probably have one. And if you would like to share it, please do. Call in 855-853-4802 at any time. You can also write in at realghoststoriesonline.com. If you prefer an ad-free version of the show, you can do that. You also get advanced episodes and access to the archive. Become a premium subscriber through Apple Podcasts. You can try it 3 days free. You can also sign up through patreon.com/realghoststories or at ghostpodcast.com. And Harper is with me today. How are you, friend?
I'm good.
Life is good?
Yes.
We've got a call today. You want to hear it?
Ooh, I would love to.
Okay, here we go. Let's just dive right in. Why not?
Yeah.
How you doing? This is Nick. I'm up here in Connecticut. Just wanted to call and talk to you guys about a happening that happened when I was younger. Coursed over the span of about 4 years, all within my grandmother's house, where we live in Waterford is an older part of Connecticut, so there's naturally the Indian burial grounds and the Revolutionary War massacre brought on by Benedict Arnold in the area. But nothing that had happened to me really had any seemed to have much to do with anything in the past. About 4 years old, we moved into my grandparents' downstairs apartment, with in-law suite with my mom and I. And her bedroom had a connecting hallway that led just to a wall that had her bathroom, shower, as well as the washing rooms. And until then, I hadn't really experienced much in any home. But one night I decided to go in there. I needed to get something in it. I turned the corner into this room, which you really have to take a 180 degree once you enter the doorway that goes to the hallway to get to the end of that hallway where the washer and dryer is. And it seemed almost as though a black mass manifested in that back hallway and came towards me. Now, it didn't seem malicious from what I remember, but granted, I don't remember what happened for the rest of that day. To this day, I don't remember that. And I never really talked to anyone about it. It was a very scary experience for me. But in the predecessing months of us living with our grandparents, there was a crawl space underneath or in the closet in our in-law apartment that went underneath the main part of the house. That's where my grandfather and grandmother kept old antiques. A lot of things from the floods in Canaan, Connecticut, when they had the flooding and their family had to move. And I always felt oddly comfortable, but knew that there was something there with me. And I would always end up in that area for what seemed to me to be only minutes at a time. But I would come out and my mom or my grandmother would have been looking for me for the past hour. And I thought I was only in this room for, playing with the old knickknacks and toys for, 5-10 minutes. It never really hit me as a child. And this went on for probably about 2 or 3 years until I was 7 years old, when my grandfather, who was very large and in charge, as well as needing oxygen and other items, he had severe diabetes, which caused his legs to start giving way, and he passed. And I remember the funeral very well. My cousin Jen and I were very close at that time. My cousin Jen had a countless amount of experiences with the paranormal as a child in her home at the bookstore in our town, which my uncle, her father owned. There would be times I'd be sitting over her house and you would hear her talking to someone. You would hear voices talking back. And then when you'd go to find her outside in the backwoods, she'd be by herself. But I, as well as her parents, knew that we had heard another person responding to her, another little girl. She gave a beautiful eulogy and sang for my grandfather's funeral. And that day we went home to my grandparents' house. And at this point, I had moved out of my grandparents' home and with my father after a nasty little bit of a custody battle. But in that time, nothing had happened when I wasn't there. But when I went back, I stayed in my mother's old room as our childhood room in my grandparents' house just for somewhere to stay while I was up for the funeral. And the next morning, I came downstairs, which opens up into a dining room area that has two walkways into the kitchen area. It's like a galley kitchen with a smaller breakfast nook at the end on the second doorway from the dining room. Now, as I walked down into the dining room, all of a sudden, my grandfather peeks his head out from around the corner where he would sit at the head of the table at the breakfast nook and just said, "Hey, buddy," and went back in. And as I turned the corner to see who I had thought was my deceased grandfather, he was gone. Now, when I had talked to my grandparents about this, my father's parents and my grandmother, my mother, no one believed me. They thought I was seeing things. They thought I was young. I had a vivid imagination, but I knew what I saw. And now I'm 27 now, and about 2 years ago, I started working for my uncle at his bookstore in Nyannick as well, and started really getting close again with my aunt and my uncle. And my aunt is a Wiccan, and she believes in the paranormal and everything about it and the spiritual side of things. And so I knew that she would be a good, comfortable person for me to talk to about this. And she finished, as I finished my story, she turned to me and said, "You know, your cousin Jen saw him the next day too." And it was almost a scary realization that what I had seen, that my grandfather who had passed the day before, was in fact there to say goodbye to me. But it also felt good to know that I was not going crazy and I was not alone in seeing him. Since then, my cousin and I have both had countless amounts of paranormal experience. I actually worked with a paranormal group. The guys I worked with love when I go, because no matter what, when I was there, we would get manifestations, a good amount of video, EVP, and voice phenomenon. So it was pretty cool. But it's great to talk to you. I love the show. I listen to it every week. Thanks, guys, for what you do. But,
okay, something really weird just happened, like, in the middle of that story.
What?
I got, like, a really bad headache.
Are you okay? Do you need to go lay down?
No, I'm fine.
Do you think it was the story?
It was, like, right at the point where, like, it was, like, the little girl talking to something that no one else could see.
And then you got a headache?
Yeah.
Because what I thought was really interesting about that part of the story was that other people could hear the voice.
Yeah.
But then when they went and looked, there was nobody there. Because usually it's a kid talking to an imaginary friend. Did your headache just kind of come and then go away, or do you still have
it? Yeah, I'm fine right now.
It just came
and then went.
That's weird.
Yeah, really weird. Anyway, neat story, though.
I think that there are just some people who are more sensitive than other people, and especially kids. I think kids have more of a sensitivity, and some people like him, they keep it going as they get older. Other people kind of lose that ability. But when you're young and you lose a grandparent, that's a really, really hard thing to deal with. And the fact that he saw his granddad the next day, he was like, "Hey, buddy." And you would know. It's like, you know, you're there for the funeral. And then, wait, there was grandpa. He just said, "Hey, buddy," to me. You know what you saw. You know what you heard. And then the fact that the aunt had confirmed that the cousin had also seen the grandfather. And then I like that part, that then you don't feel like you're crazy, because I think so often you do think you're crazy, especially when you're a little kid and you know your grandpa died and you know you just saw him and you know he just said, "Hi, buddy," which means you're crazy as a kid. That's the only thing that can mean.
And I hate that, like, when parents are like, "Oh, you're just crazy," because, like, I would never do that to any future kids of mine.
I agree. I think that when a child comes to you and they say they've seen something, they've heard something, I think you need to have a conversation with them. You need to talk to them about it. Maybe it's an imaginary friend. Maybe it's not.
Yeah.
Maybe
you just never know.
Maybe he really did see his uncle. So why not just, or his grandpa, why not just acknowledge that? You know, that's, I'm sure it's because your grandpa loves you or whatever.
Yeah.
However you want to explain that. But if you don't have that conversation, the kid's going to do whatever to rationalize that in his brain. And kids don't have the reasoning ability. you know, especially when you're really young. And the only explanation they have is that something's wrong with them.
Yeah. Yeah, that would generally be like really traumatizing. Not traumatizing, but like it would stick with you for a while.
But obviously something going on in that house, because he said when they first moved in, there was that dark, misty thing they had seen and just a lot of things that had happened in the house.
Honestly, the creepiest part of that story that I thought was really creepy was a little girl in the woods talking something that other people could hear, just not see.
That's what I thought was creepy, too.
That would be horrifying.
Because often kids, you know, they have an imaginary friend.
But you can hear this thing.
But everybody could hear that, but you couldn't see it.
Yeah.
I don't know. As a parent, I think I would want to have a conversation like, let's have a conversation with this friend. What's his name? Because, look, this is my innocent child. Please leave her alone. I don't know how you handle that as a parent.
It'd be horrifying.
There's not a book on that one. Horrifying.
Yeah, I don't think there is a book on that one. Unless there is.
How to talk to your child who's hearing voices that you're also hearing. I don't know that that one's been written.
If not, I'll write it.
Dude, work on that one. Just start. Write that chapter, and then you could add in more. As you get older, I think that would be a service to everybody, my friend.
Definitely.
Well, I thought that was a good story. And I think that guy actually obviously has some sensitivity and is still able to really pick up on stuff, especially his paranormal group is like, hey, bring him with us.
Yeah.
We always get stuff when that guy's with us.
Yeah.
He's the most popular paranormal investigator in town. Right?
Yeah.
Well, if you want an ad-free version of the show along with advanced episodes, you get access to the archive, you can become a premium subscriber through Apple Podcasts. And if you go that route, you get it 3 days free, so you can check it out first. You can also sign up through Patreon.com. You can also sign up through Patreon.com/RealGhostStories or at GhostPodcast.com. And for all of us here at Real Ghost Stories Online, thank you for listening.
Mr. Monopoly here. Monopoly is back at McDonald's. Register in the McDonald's app so you're ready to
get your bag.
Two ways to peel for a chance to
get your bag.
Physical peels with select items and digital peels with others to
get your bag.
Play Monopoly at McDonald's. Ba-da-ba-ba-ba.
No purchase necessary. See rules at playmcd.com for full details and amoe.playmcd.com to play without purchase. Ends November 23rd, but bonus plans November 2nd. Monopoly is a registered trademark of Hasbro. Copyright McDonald's.
If you're a smoker or vapor ready to make a change, you really only need one good reason. But with Zyn nicotine pouches, you'll discover many good reasons. Zyn is America's number one nicotine pouch brand. Plus, Zyn offers a robust rewards program. There are lots of options when it comes to nicotine satisfaction, but there's only one Zyn. Check out Zyn.com/find to find Zyn at a store near you. Warning, this product contains nicotine. Nicotine is an addictive chemical.